Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. It's all the music today is just spot on, just been such a tremendous blessing to me and I trust to you as well. Matthew chapter 16, as we have this anniversary service here this afternoon, and I believe this is where the Lord would take us and understand a few things about his church. So if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 12, and we'll read down to verse 18. Verse 12, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Lord, what a blessing it has already been just being in church today and enjoying all the things that we've had to enjoy, the blessings of music, and then the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, once again, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I believe that you have some things that you want to speak to us concerning this Scripture, and I pray that you'd empower the preaching of thy Word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. There's no doubt here that Jesus had just been talking to them about the religion of the Pharisees and the religion of the Sadducees and how that they had false doctrine. And the doctrine is what he emphasized concerning these other religions. And then he wanted to make sure that they understood what he was talking about concerning this New Testament church age. And so he asked them what they thought, and then Peter presents the truth, and he reveals to him, this is right thinking, Peter. You didn't come upon that on your own. It was God who helped you and that directed your thoughts to know exactly who I am and what I've come to establish. And so based on Peter's faith and God leading him to understand who Jesus was, he says, I will build my church. His church would be established by Christ. Don't let anybody tell you any different than that. Jesus Christ himself established his church. As he established his church, he gave them the doctrines of his church. And he made this statement that the gates of hell would not prevail against it throughout this New Testament church age. Some 2,000 years, church is still going strong because of the promise that Jesus made. This would be the beginning of what is known as the perpetuity of the true church. It's important for us to understand church perpetuity because this church is directly connected to Jesus Christ. Been 2,000 years, there's been a whole lot of things happen on planet Earth. But as we study the Bible and what Jesus was teaching here, then the true church for 2,000 years has connections to Christ.
Amen.
Wasn't established out of the religions of the Pharisees or the religions of the Sadducees or any other philosophies or any other religions that we might think of even today. The perpetuity of Christ's church has its roots in Christ. I love that. Now, I don't know. It would be hard to be able to trace it back in all the different churches for 2,000 years that was started there in Israel and Jerusalem and how they went about and then how the world opened up to the gospel of Jesus Christ and all the things that had taken place and how that somehow or other they were rooted in the establishing of the United States of America, because basically it was Christ's church that offered freedom of religion and the teachings of Christ's church. But all of it, I believe we'll have it one day, we'll be able to see it traced all the way back, but it is important for us to know in this year, 2022, the Lighthouse Baptist Church is part of the perpetuity of the church that Jesus Christ established and is still the head of.
Amen.
His doctrine, his headship, his preeminence, those are the keys to the true church. If Christ is not the head of the church, then that church is not his body. Because the true church is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ has Christ as the head. And as Christ as the head, we have his doctrine. If you lose sight of his doctrine, you lose sight of the head of the church. And if you lose sight of the head of the church, you lose sight of church perpetuity, the connection that we have back to Christ. Now, Matthew chapter 15, in verse 9, he would present some things here. He said this. He told them concerning the other religions, he says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." They wanted to acknowledge Christ, and even today some want to acknowledge Christianity, but they deny the doctrines. If you cannot deny the doctrines and still be connected to Jesus Christ and his headship, which is the church perpetuity, that takes us all the way back. When you start focusing more on the commandments of men, the philosophies of man, and you lose sight of the Bible doctrines, then you lose sight of church perpetuity. 2 John, verses 9 through 11, let me just read this to you. But 2 John, in verse 9, it says this, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." You have a man-made religion. You don't have the doctrine of Christ, you do not have God. "Abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds," because you're taking away from the true church and the true doctrine, where Christ is the head. Now, this is just Bible. This is what we need to understand concerning the Word of God. Over in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 15, after given the positions that God would have established in his church, that of a pastor and that of a deacon, he says this, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Knowing how that we ought to hold on to the doctrines, knowing how we need to have the positions that Jesus Christ established for his church in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The living God. Jesus Christ is a resurrected living Savior. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. Wow, it is the light. Satan is darkness, and he would love to take us away from the light of the truth. And he's been working on that. He's had 2,000 years to work on that. And he's done a good job. Oh, there's churches on, so-called churches on every corner. There's different religions, over probably hundreds, if not 1,000, different religions, different philosophies of mankind. But there's one true church, which began with Christ and has spread around the world, because that is the Great Commission. That's the gospel. To get the gospel to all creatures, all humanity around the world, and by reaching them, establishing Christ's church where they can be baptized and discipled to where they can be part of church perpetuity going forward. So the purpose and the function of Christ's church remains the same. The purpose, now times have changed, there's no doubt about it. A lot of different situations, a lot of different things every generation's had to deal with. But the purpose and the function of Christ's church remains the very same as it was established by Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. That hadn't changed. This perpetuity is what led to the start of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in 1985 in Indianapolis, Indiana, where there was not as bright of light that there need to be. Not that there wasn't light. There was good churches, but not like there needed to be. You can never have too many lights if you're trying to brighten things up. The more lights, the brighter it is. Lighthouse Baptist Church was planted out of the Frankfort Baptist Church, where I was the associate, working with the youth, with my brother. That's where it came from. It was planted out of the Frankfort Baptist Church and church perpetuity in a storefront in Irvington at 5438 East Washington Street. God determined that there needed to be a light. And God established his church connected to the church that Jesus Christ established 2,000 years ago on East Washington Street. It's where we stayed for a year and a half. It was just rented property, borrowed property. But God had us there. We have some of our church founders here with us, my sister Linda and Tim. I always have missed his amening, amen. He's an amener for sure, you can tell that. You know, June, Kim just testified about that. There's others here as well. There was a part of that church perpetuity in establishing this Lighthouse Baptist Church. 24 people met on that very first Sunday. It was the Sunday after Easter, which it is not always that way, but it was this year. Last Sunday was Easter, and so we established it. Didn't want to establish on Easter Sunday, but we wanted to plant the church and establish the church the week following Easter services. As we had been there for a year and a half, and I became the sole pastor of the church and had been the sole pastor for about 6 months, it was critical at that time that we would get our own building, our own property. We were in a storefront, and many of you have seen the pictures around the church here, and it was not a really good neighborhood even back then, and it was right on Washington Street, and it was very difficult. We had actually grown the church to about 100 and then started declining because of the location and all the different things that were taking place. And as pastor, I knew that if the church was going to continue to go, and God put this in my heart, we had to have evidence that God's hand was on our church, that God's hand was on me as the pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And so started praying and actually fasting. I had learned of that extension of prayer being fasting. And I remember fasting and praying for God to open up a property for us to establish our own building. Saturday night has always been my time around the church. I think everyone knows it. It's my prayer closet. If I'm going to preach on Sunday morning for 37 years, if I'm preaching on Sunday morning, I'm here Saturday night preparing myself to be used of God to preach His word to God's people. And I go over the prayer, I go over the membership list and prepare myself by knowing who I'm going to be preaching to and knowing what kind of needs the people have. And God will reveal to me certain things as I go through the membership about certain ones. And I pray, I bring that up, I pray for them. And so I was in my office at 9 o'clock, and I was focused on praying for the congregation and what was taking place, and the phone rang. And I thought, who in the world would interrupt me at 9 o'clock at night, the phone to ring? And I almost ignored it. I didn't want to answer it. I was praying to God, and the Spirit of God told me, get the phone. And as I was praying and fasting that week and I got the phone, it was Larry Sayer, which was a state representative for the American Baptist Association. I had put in so many phone calls to every denomination, anyone I thought might have a building available. I mean, I had spent my time all at that afternoon, and he said, you know, I just got back into town. He said, I didn't know if anybody would be there tonight or not, but we just had a building open up at 6950 East Raymond Street, just a little brick building with a little brick gravel parking lot. And he said, we're retiring the pastor there, and we're going to put the church up, that building up for sale, and hadn't even been listed yet. I hung up, got off the floor, went, got my car, come over here, and went over to the front doors of the little brick building. I think you've seen the picture of it out there as well. Laid my hands on the front door, and I claimed it for Christ. I thought, this is it. I was praying, fasting. This is God's answer to our prayer. I was 30 years old, young, naive. The very next morning was Sunday, I announced that we had a church building. God has answered prayer. He's given us a church building. It's only almost about 2 miles from where we were meeting. And I was so excited. Our people was excited. On Monday, I offered $90,000 for the building and grounds. I just knew that it was going to be ours. 5 acres of ground. Everything seemed perfect. Until Thursday, Larry called me and rejected. He said his board had rejected the $90,000, thought they could get more than that for the property. I couldn't understand it. That very next Saturday, I left the storefront. I come over here to the church. It was snowing outside. Probably a foot and a half of snow. And I thought, God, you did it for Joshua. You brought down the walls of Jericho. I got out of my car. I started walking around the building. Thought I was going to walk around it 7 times. And I was going to reclaim it for Christ. Have you ever walked around a building like this for seven times with it snowing outside? About the third time around, the dogs over here at Waterman started barking, the lights started coming on, and I'm thinking they're going to call the police on me over here. About the fourth time around, I thought, this is kind of crazy. Surely God would do the same if I only made it three or four times around. I remember telling myself, Joshua did seven times. You started out saying you're going to do it seven times. Finish it. And I walked around the building seven times. Had a peace when I left here. I didn't even tell the church we didn't have the building. I didn't tell the church that they had rejected our $90,000. On Monday, Larry Sayers called back. He said, you know, I've been talking to the board about rejecting your offer. He said, we're looking for young men like yourself and young congregations. If you would come under the umbrella of the American Baptist Association, we will give you the building and grounds. God's testing our faith. And I'm thinking, how long would I have to stay under the American Baptist before I could get out of the American Baptist? And I thought, that would not be right. I said, Larry, I appreciate, really do appreciate your offer. But God had us to establish an independent fundamental Baptist church according to church perpetuity. Our roots are in the doctrines of Christ. I didn't tell him all that, but that's what I was thinking. But I said, no, I said, this is what I want to do. Because I'd also heard from the bank, and they said they couldn't give us the loan that they originally said they could give us because the guy didn't know that we were a church or didn't know that churches were different, and they could only give us a portion of the money, so we really didn't have the $90,000. If they would have accepted it, we wouldn't have been able to pay. And so I countered. I said, Larry, this is what I want you to take to the board. We're going to offer you $75,000, and we want you to finance it for us. He laughed, just like you're doing right now. He said, they've already turned down $90,000, preacher. And I said, Larry, take it to the board. Tell them $75,000. We'll have a balloon payment after 33 years. We'll pay it all off. But I said, this is, God wants us to have this building. Yeah. On Wednesday night, I said, I hadn't heard back from him. On Wednesday night, I got the congregation that we had there on Wednesday night, and I said, oh, we need to do something here. We need to go over to that building, and we need to join hands, and we need to unite in our prayer for God to give us this building. After our services, everyone that was in attendance on that Wednesday night, I'm sure you guys can remember that. Amen. We come over here, still cold and snowy outside. And the church, the body of Christ, which is the beginning of a light that God had for Indianapolis, prayed. Thursday morning, he called me back. He said, preacher, I don't know how or why they did it, but they've accepted your offer. And had agreed to finance it. We had not signed papers, nothing. We moved in that next Sunday. They were going to have to evict us if it didn't go through. We went in, we started occupying the building before it was ever signed for anything else. And we had our first service in our new building in February of 1987. Wow. From 1988 to 2006, we built 9 buildings in 18 years. We were in a building project every other. That's all we were doing is building buildings. building, doing the work of Christ, but building buildings to accommodate the people that the lighthouse was reaching. God built those buildings. Whenever that we didn't have the money. But God would send the right people at the right time because he promised he would build his church. We just had to focus on keeping it his church. Our focus was on Christ being the head and his doctrine being what we preached. In 1994, during that time, we built the sanctuary. In 94, well, it doesn't seem possible. My goodness, that's 28 years ago. Amen. As we built the property, we had built most all of the other buildings ourselves. We had outside help in just a few different areas. We actually contracted this building out, and they went bankrupt. So we had to finish it ourselves. Yeah. I remember Friday night into Saturday morning before our first service here, Brother Merv McNair, my youth pastor, Brother Merv and I had a scaffolding, and we were painting all of these brackets, which used to be kind of a rust, different color. And so we, at 2 o'clock in the morning, that very center bracket, we had scaffolding all the way up there, and Brother Merv and I painted that. And as we started coming down, he started laughing, and he said, "I put my name in it." If you could look real close, you might be able to see, not really, but he did. He said he put his name in that bracket. A lot of memories of what God has done here at the Lighthouse. From 2007 to 2018, we continued doing the work that Jesus established his church to do. What I mean by that is during those years we were winning the lost. We never stopped soul winning, never stopped outreach, bus ministries, winning the lost. Taking in those whom God would lead to this church. Many had been out of church. Many had been hurt. Many had been on the brink of divorce, the brink of families. God would use his church to salvage the lives of many, many families during that time. Sending out a number of pastors' wives. I believe we got 17 pastors and pastors' wife, a combination of the two of those out of this church. Yeah. Unreal. That are now part of the church perpetuity. All of those churches that have been affected in coming out of this church is church perpetuity. Missionaries. Missionary wives, full-time servants of the Lord, numerous amount of young people coming through this church, serving God in other churches where they had the very same doctrine, had the very same head because of church perpetuity. Our 30th anniversary, the staff put a booklet together, and it's called The Miracle, The Story of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And of course, that's why I'm not going to get all the detail, but that's in the bookstore. I would recommend anyone to purchase that. Go in the bookstore, buy that. It was 30 years of history, 30 years of miracles of God working in this Lighthouse Baptist Church. But we never lost sight of it being Christ's church. Amen. That's the key. Amen. If it's Christ's church, the doctrines will not change. If it's Christ's church, the head of the church will not change. That's why church perpetuity is very, very important. In 2019 through 2021, possibly the hardest it's ever been for me. I've never been as weak. I've always been able to fix things. I thought it was my time was over. Had open heart. I died. Had an open heart surgery, six-way bypass. Didn't know if I would ever preach again. Didn't know if I could ever pastor the church. But God strengthened me.
Amen.
I think it was due to the prayers of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. He allowed me to come back. I'm not as strong as I used to be, really not. I don't have the strength. I don't have the capacity that I used to have. Because right after that COVID hit, I believe God had me here to help guide this church through the COVID. The wisdom of the years of ministry, being able to make some tough decisions to help our people. COVID is a direct reminder of what's going to take place in the last days. No one could have seen how the virus could have affected the church around the world. But Christ continued to assure me and assure this church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
This is His church. As long as we keep Him on the head and we keep preaching His doctrine, His church will prevail. Now in 2022, we continue with the perpetuity. There's no doubt in my mind we have staff that are going to enforce and help continue church perpetuity no matter how much longer that I have. This church is Christ's church. The work we do is His work. And our prayer is even so, come. We're going to continue to do the work He's called us to do. But our prayer is what I preached on this morning. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. What a blessing to have this church family raptured up at the very same time. I don't know for sure how it's going to be in heaven, but I think there's going to have a street, Lighthouse Baptist Church Street. And all connected to this church, we're going to live on the same block. What a blessing. It'll be better than the best of anything that you experience here. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. If I could have every head bowed tonight. Christ Church, let's never lose sight of it being Christ's church. Let's keep looking to Him as the authority. Keep preaching and living by His doctrine. Father, we bow before You now. We love You, Lord. Thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the history and the blessings that this church has been to so many people. I pray, God, that we would continue to be a blessing to so many people. That you would continue to work through your church to see souls saved, saved, baptized, baptized, discipled, and sent out to do a work that you've called them to do. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen.